We are joined now in the studio by James Williams from the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP, also a former public defender for Orange and Chatham Counties. A reminder that the courts are finally getting back into session tomorrow, albeit on a two-hour delay. And you can check our website, chapelboro.com, for the full list of closures, cancellations, and delays. James, thank you so much for being with us today, and hope you got through the snow all right.
Well, Aaron, it's a pleasure to be here, and I got through the snow fine. I did have to shovel a little bit to get out of my driveway and back in yesterday, so... Yeah. But other than that, I'm fine.
I still haven't seen my house in 2 days. I'm on a street in Durham that's just impassable whenever you get snow. I'm going back home tonight. It'll be all good. But yeah. So just had the just read the latest update on the ongoing controversy surrounding Silent Sam, and we'll have the Board of Governors meeting this coming Friday to continue that process. But I know you came in to talk about a different monument that also will recognize the kind of the nasty side of North Carolina's history and bring something out into the light that has been in many ways covered up. So
that's correct, Aaron. One of the things that this year I became aware of the work that Brian Stevenson and others at the Equal Justice Institute had done in having constructed a couple of museums and monuments, and one is the Legacy Museum, and the other is the National Memorial for Peace and Justice, commonly referred to as the Lynching Museum. Mm-hmm. And its purpose is to help educate about this legacy of racial terror and lynching throughout the South, or in some places across the nation, but primarily concentrated in the South. And their data indicates over 4,000 such lynchings, which they refer to as racial terror lynchings, from a period of around, I believe, 1870 through 1950. I mean, they're not saying that those were the only years that lynchings occurred, but for reasons that they chose, they only covered lynchings for that period. One of those lynchings took place here in Orange County. It was the lynching of Manly McCauley in the year 1898. And for each of the lynchings that they document, there is a monument at the Memorial for Peace and Justice. And there is one there, a monument for Manly McCauley. One of the things that EGI is doing is trying to encourage education of the public and conversations about this history that, you know, too often we tend to ignore or sweep under the rug. But Brian and others believe that if we're going to ever come to true truth and reconciliation, we're going to have to acknowledge that legacy that we're still living with today in various forms. Mm-hmm. And so what they want people to do is to go through a process of public education and conversations related to the lynchings and racial terror within your community. And after going through certain steps, that particular county or community will be able to claim a duplicate monument related to, in our case, the lynching of Manly McCauley. While I was in, I didn't mention that, I did attend the grand opening of the museum and memorial April 26 of this year. April 26 just happens to be my birthday, so it was sort of like a birthday gift of sorts. But while I was there, I actually saw the McCauley monument. I took photographs of it.
Where is it?
It's in Montgomery.
Okay.
In Montgomery. is on several acres of land that used to be sort of the a thriving black community there in Montgomery before urban renewal divided the neighborhood. But at any rate, the other thing that I did while I was there was to talk to the people at EJI to determine the process for claiming the duplicate monument. And since that time, we have formed a coalition because one of the things that they want to see is community engagement and input rather than just having one or two people saying, you know, we'd love
let's
to have this monument.
This.
Let's bring it. That's not what they're interested in. And so a coalition has been formed. It's called the Orange County Community Remembrance Coalition, or OCCRC. It is co-chaired by myself and Orange County Commissioner Renee Price. And the purpose of the commission is to partner with EJI to engage in the process of education and conversation that will ultimately lead to our ability to claim that monument and have an unveiling and a program and programming related to that. And part of the process will be over a 2 to 3 year period, various programs and events related to racism, racial terror, and lynching. And there are a couple of events that our coalition have planned for the next couple of months, and I want to make the public aware of those events. The first one will be Tuesday, January 8th, and that will be a reception that will take place at United Church of Chapel Hill. It will be from 6 until 7:30 p.m., and we're inviting the public to come out and meet members of the coalition to learn more about what our plans are and what we will be doing going forward. So that is the first event. And then on February 2nd, which is a Saturday, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., there will be a symposium on lynching and racial terror that will take place at the Passmore Center in Hillsboro. And we will have basically three panels, one of historians, of scholars. Another will be comprised of high school students. And the third will be of graduate students at university level.
Have these panels already been put together?
We are in the process of, well, the scholar panel is set.
That's set,
and
yeah.
that's going to be, well, yeah, that is
it's
set.
It's easier to get scholars to come
right,
together.
Yeah.
And
We're working on the other two, but we'll be ready February 2nd. And in between the second and third panel, the public is in for a treat because we will have North Carolina's Poet Laureate, Jackie Shelton Green,
From Orange County,
we'll do a performance there. And we will have lunch or snacks available. And so we encourage everybody to come out for both those events.
Awesome. Yeah. So where does Orange County or where do we in Orange County stand vis-a-vis other communities? Are we kind of ahead of the curve in terms of working with the EJI? Or?
Well, in terms of this effort, I think we probably are in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, there are some places in what I'll say the Deep South, say, for instance, in Alabama, in South Carolina, and I think maybe Mississippi, where there was early focus, and they have gone through some initial steps already, like, for instance, having a marker installed and events surrounding that, listing the names of people who were lynched. But as far as North Carolina, I'm not aware of any county that at this point has formed a coalition like ours moving forward on this. I'm sure there will be. Now, there have been a number of people who have called EJI and have from other places and said, basically, I want my monument.
Right, right. Like, you have to take the steps to do it.
Right, you got to take the steps to do it.
Speaking with James Williams, and we're talking about the eventual monument that hopefully will be coming to North Carolina, and it's recognizing Manly McCready. Manly McCauley. I couldn't read my own handwriting there. What do we know about Manly McCauley? Because you mentioned 1898 was when it happened.
And 1898 was when it happened.
Pivotal year for North Carolina,
right,
too.
That's right, because, yeah. Of course, the Wilmington massacre was that year. But so one of the things that our coalition, we have some scholars and researchers that are part of a coalition, and one of their purposes is to research events in terms of locations, see if there are any living relatives of either the perpetrators or the victim, things of that nature. And so as best we can tell at this point, Mr. McCauley was in a relationship or having an affair with a married white woman. They were attempting to leave the area. The woman's husband found out they were in a vehicle in some other county headed away when they were stopped and brought back to Orange County, and he was eventually lynched somewhere in the county. We're trying to pin down the exact area, but it's believed it was in the Calvander area. Mm-hmm. The woman involved eventually reconciled, or whatever, however you phrase it, with her husband and continued in the marriage. There's a bit more, but I don't want to say too much before we can confirm some other information. The other thing I think is important to point out is that that's not the only lynching that we think took place in Orange County. We've been told that there's at least four others. Those other four probably didn't happen within the time parameters that I mentioned earlier. But if we are take part in what's called the marker, you know, where you actually, you know, you partner with EJI to help them design a marker for your locality. What we will do with that is if we can determine the names of those other lynching victims, we will probably do something to acknowledge them also on that marker.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with James Williams, and I want to come back to a point you made a while back, which was that EJI wants to promote truth and reconciliation, and that's a specific reference to South Africa and their process of getting over apartheid, which there involved people coming forward and admitting to what they had done during that period. Is there a difference, or how do you translate that into talking about not what I personally did, but what we did, or what my ancestors did, or what my community did?
Well, I mean, I think that is really the big question, because what has happened heretofore is that quite often even people who look upon with abhorrence what happened during that time, you know, we'll basically say, well, you know, that was them, or that was my ancestors.
That was somebody else.
Yeah. We're beyond that now. But then sort of getting people to recognize that we're really not beyond that now, because so much of how society is currently structured. For instance, you know, we think about the great, so-called great migration. Well, what brought that about? The narrative that has been put forth is that, well, you know, people wanted to find better jobs. Well, that was partially true. But people were also fleeing racial terror. They were like refugees trying to find safety somewhere else. And that racial terror, you know, accounts for a lot of how society is structured today when we think about, you know, our criminal justice system, because part of it, the terror, was based upon this racial narrative of difference and of white supremacy. And, you know, one person being different and less than simply because of color. And we're still trying to deal with that today. When we talk about voting rights, mm-hmm. You know, Miss Eaton just recently passed, who was sort of a beacon and a pillar of civil rights, but particularly voting rights in the state of North Carolina. She just died. She was 97 years old. She stayed out on the battlefield until she was probably unable to move, but she is said to have registered some 4,000 voters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're dealing with voter suppression today. A lot of racial terror and lynchings came about as a result of that very thing, trying to prevent black people from having access to the ballot and suppressing their constitutional right to vote. And so those legacies are, you know, still have yet to be reckoned with and acknowledged. And the subsequent pain, there are people who remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that there are no monuments,
mm-hmm.
hardly at all, to those victims and those communities. But you have monuments to white supremacy all over the place. In fact, more in North Carolina than probably most other states.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's time for a reckoning, for a reconciliation to address this injustice.
James Williams, whenever you come on, I want to talk to you forever, but we got to wrap up. Where can people go online to find more information about this ongoing work?
Well, we are setting that up.
Okay.
Haven't, it's not set up yet, but people can certainly feel free to email me at my email is attwill@gmail.com. And we'll, as soon as I get the online site, then I'll pass it on to you.
attwill9@gmail.com. Get more information there. James Williams, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And you can get more information about the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP online at chapelhillcarboroughnaacp.com.